they're taking what you're saying to them, and they're hoping that you are what you talk. Let's be about everything we drop, because we're going to get tested on it. If the people on the street don't test us on it, God's going to test us on it.
Kill the Mockingbird, Truth or Report, with Sean Criss and Sebastian Farr.
Kick his ass, Sebas.
Wake up!
Wake up, America!
Yeah, what is good, y'all? It's your host, Sean Criss, with my co-host, Sebastian Farr. We're actually starting a new thing where every Saturday, Sunday, we will be recording your news, truth or news. No more fucking Mockingbird media. We will be showing you and exposing a lot of this bullshit. And since we're censored a lot, we can't really be on YouTube all the time. And or Instagram, are they blocking our posts? I think we're able to go back live now, finally, after so long. So we'll see how that goes. What's up with you, Seabass? How you doing today?
Oh, well, my friend, how about yourself?
I'm pretty good, man. You know, just trying to there's so much news this week, man.
Like, yeah, there's a lot.
I mean, I was going to talk about, like, I know people will probably want to hear about the debate or what we think about the debate, but there was so much about the debate. Like, I think I would just start with the debate real quick.
All he does is talk about shutdowns, but forget about him. His Democrat governors, Cuomo in New York, you look at what's going on in California, you look at Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Democrats all, they're shut down so tight and they're dying. They're dying.
He says to them about the poor borders.
Here's the deal.
Well, I'm sick and tired of smart guys. Well, I'm sick and tired of smart guys.
No president has been right by us.
That, like, I was like, let's get that out of the way. I thought, as an independent, a person that's on the fence, I thought Trump destroyed Biden.
Yeah, man.
Like, I was impressed.
Yeah, he definitely performed a lot better. He was kind of more calm and composed in delivering his points.
Yes.
And wasn't, like, you know, overly aggressive. And a bigger point I've heard from other people is he gave Biden a chance to kind of come up with his own gaffes.
Yes.
He's got to let him talk, and he will put his foot in his own mouth.
He almost did like what a UFC boxer fighter does. Like, when they know that they can outfight him, they go, well, let's go 12 rounds. You're going to run out of gas.
Yeah. And that's exactly what happened.
So, like, we both kind of agree then Trump pretty much, like, and I'm still not going to vote for Trump just because, like, I'm an asshole and I hate the duopoly, but I understand why people are going for Trump, because to me, he was composed, he was direct, he was informal, and he was not as petty, and he actually even showed grace by, like, commenting to the moderator, like, hey, you're doing a great job, and commenting to Biden, like, hey, you know, it's not your fault, you know, you're not a bad guy, Joe. Like, you know what I mean? He kind of, like, personalized it.
Yeah, he was acting a lot more presidential.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, you know, less of the firebrand, kind of shooting off the hip, kind of.
Yeah.
Disrespectful barroom brawl type.
Which I get, because he's used to, like, just shit talking, and I'm the same way, man. Like, yeah. All the people I know, we just shit talk anyways.
It's almost kind of. It looks like a bad image almost when you go after Biden like that, though, because he's older and everyone knows he's declining a little bit cognitively.
Yeah, I don't know if you listen to Michael Savage. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
Mm-mm.
He's like in the San Francisco area. Yes, Michael Savage. He's a conservative. He's pro Trump, but, like, you know, he's real cynical. That's why I kind of like him. I like cynical people, man. I like all angles of it. And he was saying that for a long time. He was saying that for the past few months, even before the first debate, he said that he needs to do a different approach. It can't be that, like, I'm gonna get you, throw you in jail, la da da. He said you gotta kind of humanize, because since Biden's an old man, it looks bad. Even though if he's a bad guy, it just the perception.
Yep. So I think he handled himself a lot better this time around. He stuck to the points and didn't get caught in interrupting. I found like, in this debate, Biden was the only one that was kind of really interrupting.
I agree. I totally agree.
The moderator did do well.
Oh,
despite being partisan, like, with her, you know, past. But
yeah, and you
she managed the debate in a more neutral way.
Yeah. Chris Wallace should never be allowed to do a debate again.
I don't think so.
He was horrible, man.
Like, I don't.
He got a lot of flack from the Republican side of things, too, for it.
Well deserved.
Yeah, I think so.
And I think we should just, because you got some coronavirus stories, right? So we got some COVID news.
Yeah, there's a lot of big stuff picking up around the world with COVID. It looks like we're going into that, you know, kind of engineered second wave.
Make no mistake, we are in the second surge.
Winter. First article I got here from the BBC, Wales lockdown, supermarkets covering up non-essential items. Supermarkets have been covering up non-essential goods as Wales enters a national lockdown. They'll be forced to close for 17 days unless they sell essential items such as food. And the First Minister, Mark Drakeford, has said supermarkets should stop selling items such as clothes as a matter of fairness until the 9th of November. And I guess this is to try and level the playing field between the small businesses that have been arbitrarily shut out during this lockdown.
So they're trying to pretend like they're not playing sides.
But really, it's just control.
For sure, because they even had that. Remember, I think it was a few weeks ago, too. I don't know if it was in Wales as well, but I know it was some part of the UK and some part of Europe that was like that tier two people cannot have sexual... sex with their partner.
The
yeah, that was in the UK, right? Yeah, they can't because unless they live with them.
Yeah, or it's like a certain type of housing, like, yeah. Like apartments or like duplexes or something like that. I didn't get too deep in that story just because it makes my brain hurt.
Well, yeah, because you're like, what?
If you're living with them already or isolating with them, what? Like, you can't. They're just trying to play mind games at this point. It's psychological warfare.
Oh, for sure. Because they got this one too, like in the Irish Times, they were talking about how hand sanitizer used in some schools can cause headaches and respiratory problems. It's like, okay.
Yeah, and also like over sanitizing things is just bad for your natural immune system.
Oh, yeah. It definitely is. And then not just that, but too much, because that's what I've been telling people, like, from the beginning of all this, like, I'm not some like virologist or epidemiologist or anything like that, obviously, but like, it's common sense. Like, you need to build up an immune system. Like, that's obvious. I don't understand why that's even an argument. Like, it may not be a cure, but it can definitely help you.
Yeah.
And you can't say it won't. And if you say it won't, then that to me is a bunch of bullshit. Because now they're putting all those like, because now that common path is coming here. They already got the one in Ireland. That now that like you to show your immunity to show that you've been tested first right now, and then to show that you've been got the vaccine.
Yep, they're rolling it out, and they're gonna tie it to the digital currency that they're also rolling out at the same time.
That's why it's the Great Reset. Like it's only obvious, man. And there's no like other way to say.
If people have been awake to, you know, Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030, they see all these patterns, and it just confirmed their worst fears, really. And I'm among them.
Well, that's what got me crazy about the debate, because Trump said something that stood out to me. He's talked about, that's what the Green New Deal. You just want to have everybody locked up into these buildings with no windows. That is Agenda 21, the sky-rise buildings, the project-type, like, buildings where they want everybody stuffed in. And I was like, man, I don't know. I just don't know. It's hard for me to trust him. But when he said that, like, I really thought a lot about the whole globalist takeover, you know what I mean?
And Trump was saying that?
Yeah, he said that in the debate when they were talking about, like, the fossil fuel and all that.
That's why I'm kind of leaning towards Trump this time around. I think he is still the populist candidate. He ran on that of being against globalization, wanting to bring manufacturing back. But I don't think he realized he walked into such a titanic struggle where globalization and the deep state, the NWO, is all tied together. It's all one.
Yeah, I don't think he realized how much, how entangled they were.
How deep the swamp
was. Yes, there you go. And it's going to be rough waters. But then I don't like when he talks about the vaccines, of where, like, he doesn't say mandate, but when he's talking a lot about the military distributing it, I understand the military distributes food, and I know that like they do things normally that is not like a threat. It just it becomes worrisome, especially
it's also kind of constitutionally wrong because yes. you're not supposed to have standing military in U.S. soil.
Exactly. That's where so I kind of like loses me. And then you heard about the COVID vaccine trial in Brazil, right? The volunteer that died.
Yeah, I did hear about that.
And they didn't die.
Johnson & Johnson's
vaccine? Yeah, but did you hear what the person that she died of?
No.
Because so this is the thing that's not getting the news about it. I read it in the Washington Post, and the Washington Post is claiming that. So what they're doing is when you're testing the vaccine, they're supposed to test the COVID-19 vaccine against a placebo. So half of the people are supposed to get the COVID vaccine. Half of the people are supposed to get a placebo. That's nothing. And yeah, what's so you can actually gauge how deadly the vaccine can be. They're testing against the meningitis vaccine.
Wait, so there's no placebo. They're testing against another vaccine.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes.
This is so fucked up.
And they do this all the time, but they claim they weren't going to do it this time. And then on top of that, they're going to rush it. So of course it's going to look better because meningitis kills people.
Yeah.
So it's going to look deadlier. So they're going to be like, oh, okay, yeah, most definitely.
Aren't there pretty significant problems with those meningitis vaccines too?
Mm-hmm.
Especially with newborns and infants like that.
I think that it's going to be interesting for sure, because everything that's going on has like, I don't know, man. Like you said, it's all linked together. It's obvious that this globalist plan, and the more you look into it, the more you see that the one world government is what they want, and they're going to push for it. And China, and that's why all these people were helping to lift China up. Like all these years in the 90s, give them the breaks, help them with when what's it called? Bill Clinton signed over the property. What's it called? What is it called? The intelligent rights or whatever, like the, when we gave them all the technology for like, you know, 3G, 4G to be able to build that infrastructure.
Right. Yeah. We're giving intellectual property rights and stuff. And then they stole a bunch more. And the crazy thing is like the whole idea behind, you know, outsourcing cheap labor to these countries like China, for example, was so that they could develop their society and a middle class and lift themselves out of like the poverty line. But in the end, when it's an authoritarian regime like that, they're using that leverage against their own citizens and building wealth for the super elite of the Communist Party, which is an oxymoron, or it should be. But they've gone away from communism. They've gone straight to like fascist authoritarianism.
Oh, for sure. And that's why people go, well, people are living all right over there. I'm like, yeah, because people are brainwashed. Like, that's what would happen here if they continue this trend. Is that by 3-4 more generations, like once like our generation, like, you know what I mean, once we get past like the people that are like 28-27, the lower generations, they're gonna all be brainwashed into the same thinking, and if you don't know anything else, you don't know the question.
Yeah, the indoctrination's already been wild in our schools.
Oh, for sure. The thing that troubles me, though, is they only focus on the leftist propaganda and the leftist indoctrination, and I think it's both. And I think we should, it should be taught that, like, when they say you're throwing your vote away, right? I say, how are you throwing your vote away when that's who I believe in? So I should vote for someone I don't believe in?
It's disrespectful because they're saying, like, you know, they're belittling anyone that wants to vote third party. I mean, I voted third party in 2016. I didn't think I was throwing my vote away. It was a protest vote because I didn't like either candidate.
Yeah.
And I think that matters. I think everyone, I think more people should vote third party just to try and break up the system. Imagine if a third party got some actual like power at the table and kind of put checks on both these guys from working together.
Exactly.
They are voting for Trump this time around. I think the third party thing needs to be pushed more and they need to be actually given a place at the debates too.
Yeah, but I've been thinking this too, though. I started thinking about this. I go, you know what? Shame on the Libertarian Party. Shame on the Green Party. And anybody that supports him, not necessarily like supports him, but what I'm saying about that is shame on them because they only come out for the presidential election. Why aren't you getting city council seats? Why aren't you getting school board seats? Why aren't you running for mayors? Why aren't you running for, you know what I mean? There's so many offices you should, House representatives, you should be snagging. And I keep telling people this. People keep complaining about the political system. And I go, then start a political party. And the way you do it is you start a political party. You get school board seats. You get city council seats. Then you start, like, you know, then you're a mayor. Then you get a governor spot. Then you have some House representatives. Now you have backing.
Yep.
You have to build the backing.
It has to start local. You can't change this political system from the top down. It's going to have to start from the grassroots. And something like that where it's like a coalition of, I know there's a lot of conservatives that lean libertarian but are not voting that way. Just because they like Trump and he's kind of an outsider. But there could be some way of breaking the centrist vote, I think, and independent vote. If that could turn into a third party, that would be where the strength is at. Because there's a lot of people that vote that aren't registered either way.
Oh, yeah, because they just don't feel like it even matters. Like, they just go, it doesn't matter. To them, and I understand why people feel that way too, where they go, you can put Biden in, you could put Trump in, what does it fucking matter? To me, it's all the same shit. It's all this, it seems like they get what they want. That's why I worry about Trump, is because it just seems like the Democrats don't want to win the election.
I feel like they're throwing it too.
I just feel like they like, first of all, throwing Biden in there, like, you know who they could have thrown in there? Like, I would have loved Tulsi, because I think Tulsi would have been, I know they can't control her. But they could have got a lot of votes with Tulsi. But you know who could have they put? Pete Buttigieg. People would have liked him. He has that energy. He has like, and he had, and you can control him. That would have been something that people could get excited about. You can't get excited about Biden, being 47 years in government, and people could see his record. And they know they're like, they would never been, who's ever been excited for Joe Biden? No rallies, no. Like, look, I keep telling the people, this is one of the things I'm going by. And I know it's not a good science maybe, but man, just go on YouTube and type in Biden songs. All those songs are talking shit about Biden. You put Trump songs and they're all like pro Trump and pro America, and you can just see that, like, yeah, the Biden has a strong push on Twitter, but and some Facebook, but other than that, these people aren't excited. Most of the people are like, yeah, I know Biden sucks, but that's what I have to do. Well, you may think that. That's why, because they go, he's a fascist. So that's why they have to tell themselves that Donald Trump is a fascist. And I'm like, how stupid are you? You're like, I hate both of these poisons. But instead of drink these poisons, I could have the antidote that's over there, the third party. But I'm just going to drink one of these poisons and hope I don't die.
Yeah. And it's wild. It's like, you're going to vote in the same exact political camp, like that neoliberal and neoconservative order of things, where it's like it's been basically the same group of people controlling it since Reagan, Clinton's, Bush's, Clinton, or the Bush's again, you know, and then Obama was the same thing. It's, they're all one camp, really, in my mind.
Oh, for sure. And then, like, as I'm pulling up the one article, you have the Alberta MLA lens.
Oh, yeah. I actually have that one up right now too.
Oh, cool, perfect. What does it say? Credence to COVID-19 concentration camps misinformation, and that's perfect. That the reason why the concentration camp misinformation is perfect is because if you've been watching the media, like there's a interview that was on MSNBC. I heard, because I was listening. I listened to a podcast, No Agenda. If anybody, you should check that out. Anybody, No Agenda is a great. They have great information. But I was checking them out, and they were talking about, they showed one clip of where it's on MSNBC. It's Hogan. He's part of the cabinet. I'm not sure who he is exactly. I forgot his position. But he's being interviewed, and they're like, oh, well, you're saying all this misinformation and this and that. And they basically cut him off. They cut him off from speaking. And then they also did that in Victoria.
Yeah, it's wild. There's definitely a lot more to this story, and they're so quick to try and fact check it. But the language of the actual bill for these, you know, quarantine areas or quarantine camps or whatever you want
to call it. And where is this at?
This is in Canada.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So they're going to make these quarantine isolation centers for international travelers. But then it goes on to say, you know, if they need to suspend them and bring them back, they will. But there's language in there that says can be used for other purposes. That's where he was the politician there was getting cut off, was he was asking, what are these other purposes? There needs to be like clearly defined language in this so that it's not an abuse of power. And then this like this huge media campaign to automatically dispel any sort of questioning of the narrative is pretty telling.
And it all falls back to, you know what? It falls back to Julian Assange, man.
Ah, dude, he needs to get pardoned.
I don't think he is.
He won't. Trump won't.
And that's the thing,
He would have done it already.
If I was Trump, though, this is what I would do right now. And I know he can't do all this, but I would try to do this. First, I would be like, I'm going to push that to federalize the legalization of marijuana. Boom, that's going to get a gang of people. Second, I'm going to find some way to get you your motherfucking stimulus check. That would get people, like, you want to see that. But, like, I know that there's ways that he can't get it done and they're playing all this politics. But, like, there's ways he can find around it, and he needs to start doing that stuff. He needs to stop worrying so much about his image at times and worry about, like, you know what, I want to do this. But I get it, too, because I get that same way because you get stuck into the battle. So what happens is you're battling against people constantly, so you have that mentality constantly. You're like, you're preparing for it. That's why I was very impressed by the debate, because I was like, yes, you have to adapt. Switch it up. This is not that kind of mudslinging contest. You know what I mean? You're going to have to do it a little different. Yeah, but with the camp, so now right now they suspended it, right?
I think it's just kind of for this eventual second wave lockdown stuff. I believe it's tied to that. But it's crazy because, you know, there's been rumors and theories going around for years about the whole FEMA camp thing, and it's like, this is like actually being legislated and potentially happening just next door up in Canada. It's like something we all need to keep an eye out for in the future,
because they're a very progressive country as well. And that's what, like, same thing with like Australia and New Zealand, they're all becoming like their leaders are progressive, maybe not as a country,
into kind of the globalist order.
And that's in the progressive whole mindset. And like, of course, it sounds like it's not like, because it's an easy message. You're like, dude, we want to help people. Like, so how can you go against that? But they don't see the actual structure that's being built. Like, once they're in a concentration camp, I'm sure they'll see it. But then by that time, it's too late.
Yeah, they won't know they're real until they're in them.
And it's just proven that, like, with this whole COVID thing, is that people will believe and they get frightened. And when they're frightened, they believe whatever the hell their favorite talking head said.
Like, people actually think, like, they're trustworthy. Like, these people are getting paid millions of dollars, hundreds of thousands.
Dude.
Propagandists.
Bitch-ass Chris Cuomo has been showed many times to be a hypocrite. Many times that he's a hypocrite. And then he still goes on the air and has the nerve to say stupid shit like, man, wear a mask, man. Him and Dom Lemon, this, oh, my God, man. Like, I don't know how people buy that garbage, like, and I get it, too, like, don't get me wrong, too, Sean Hannity's garbage, too, like, I mean, I know people like, I like Tucker, but Tucker could get, like, redundant and the same kind of, like, stories, looking at the same shit, but, like, he will report some factual things, but, like, Hannity, he's a straight fucking super Republican, whatever Trump thought, you know what I mean?
Yeah, neocon.
Yeah, for sure, he's a neocon, like, and you could see him.
I never really gave him much mind.
Yeah.
I did listen to Tucker every once in a while.
Yeah, he has some good shows, and he's actually, especially during this coronavirus, he's exposed a lot of good information out there.
Yeah, he has. Like, including the one that really sparked my curiosity was when he investigated the turncoat scientist that came in through, I think it was Hong Kong, the female scientist.
Yeah.
And she was saying it's a man-made, you know, coof pandemic, and I definitely think it is. I think it's a biological attack.
I think so too.
Like an accidental release of anything. It all seems very staged and managed nicely. The media's got their talking points, and it's like the lockstep regime is all pretty.
That's what I feel it is, and I felt like
across the board,
I felt like they were building up China. You know what I mean?
Yes.
They built up China so they can have, so now they have the basic blueprint, and they have an army, and they have the UN as well. You know what I mean? So they're now they have, okay, we have allies. So now they're, because China's all about making money. Now, I don't know how far deep China is into the one world government, but if they're saying like one world government's going to be like a communist type of thing, like if it's going to be what they want and nothing's going to change, they don't give a shit.
Yeah,
they're like, we already have we're already spying on our citizens. We're already fucking stealing their data and mining their data. We're already implementing social credit scores and making sure that people are doing whatever we want and shutting people up that disagree with us.
I definitely think they're the blueprint that the NWO wants to go from. I'm not sure how close they really are. They're probably partners and not homogenous, but.
For sure, because it never goes as planned, man.
And I think, like, the whole the idea behind the New World Order is, like, yeah, one world government, but it's going to be regionalized for sure.
Oh, for sure.
You're seeing it with the kind of the resurgence of Turkey, and they're really pushing their weight around, and with the war in Armenia, I think, you know, they're trying to make
that, I think eventually
their sphere of influence.
I think eventually the plan is like this. I think, like, in my opinion, I think, like, they do it like China, so they, like, take over the one country, right? And little by little, it takes time. It's not something that's going to be like 5 years. These are like 30, 40, 50, 60. Like China was a 100-year plan with Mao. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And I think that they go into the countries. They see like, okay, what can we do here? How can we control it? How long is it going to take? And they start little operations. And sometimes they fuck up and it makes it worse. I think that's what's been they try to do in the Middle East. I think they thought they were going to be able to like kind of secure it easily by taking over the natural resources, which usually works, but then they didn't expect a lot of the fight back.
Yeah.
And then they're trying to constantly, like, back whoever they think has the better system, but I think they figured out that China has the better system because now they're trying to implement what China is doing over here.
Yeah, and it's all through these COVID measures mm-hmm. and lockdowns and everything.
And then just having all this, you know, all the big tech people fucking censoring all of us, not letting us communicate about like, hey, like I get if someone goes, hey, buy this fucking, I'm selling these pills, man, they'll cure you. You know what I mean? And they're dangerous or you're lying.
Yeah,
like
selling snake oil. And
yeah,
like
I get that. But like, as far as like, we should be able to have discussions about things that are questionable.
Talk about immune health, talk about vitamin C and D, zinc and all that, just like natural.
You know how many people are come up with? Are really amazed, like they go, really? And I go, like 80% plus people that were in ICU had vitamin D deficiency. They go, really? And I'm like, yeah. So that's a big clue to like, okay, maybe vitamin D is something that can help. Does it mean it will cure it? No, it does not. Nobody knows because there is nobody even knows exactly about the virus, especially because it's a virus that constantly mutates.
Yeah, and I think we're definitely going to be learning about it for a long time to come, but I think we've come a long way, and when Trump says it's like, we know how to treat it now, that's why it's not as much of a threat, whereas like the left seems to be using it as the ultimate fear-mongering tool to keep those lockdowns. And you see the little things here and there, kind of like, well, you probably know more about it than me with Gretchen Whitmer.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like the lockdowns are almost used to destroy the economy to make Trump look bad because that's his strongest area is the economic side of things.
I think that's like what it looks on the surface, but to me, I think it's deeper. I think it's to get more people dependent on the government.
Yeah, it's twofold for sure.
Because, like, they're definitely, like, because they go into these cities and it seems to spread. And then that's why I think that they want to get rid of the rural areas. Because the rural areas are like, well, fuck it. You turn off my water. I get my own water. They go, hey, I got my own electricity. I got my own. Like, so, like, they don't like that part of it. They like it where you're dependent because you're more compliant. Because, like, the reason why people are more compliant is because you're like, well, fuck, if I go crazy, then we're not going to have electricity. You're not going to have this. But if you supply everything yourself, self-sufficiently, then you can pretty much do what you want. You don't have to listen to anybody because you're like, well, I bought this land. And that's how, like, America, to me, was supposed to be. It's like, hey, I like to live in the city. Okay, go live in the city. I like to live in a farm. I like to live in the mountains. Like, you know what I mean? I like people. I don't like people. And people choosing like their ideology, that what makes them like where they want to live. And I think there's too many people nowadays that think they know what's best. They go, no, this is how society needs to be.
Yeah, I know. It's a lot of people that are like, there's a meme I saw. It was like, the same people who were saying there's too many people on this earth and we need a disease are the same people saying we need to wear masks and protect everyone.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just, there's people think they know best when it's like, honestly, we need to kind of, in our own way, be humble and recognize you can always learn more about the world. And it's all about research and doing the work, doing your homework. And I think that's why the free thinking community is very much ahead of the curve on a lot of these things.
Well, for sure, because like I said, a lot of the shows I listen to, like, they spot things, and like people like us, we spot things. Like they've noticed one of the things that they said, like, in the beginning, to flatten the curve, was it was going to overflow the hospitals, right? We're going to flood the hospitals. We were going to not have enough PPE for everybody, and it would cause more deaths than needed. And we're like, hey, as a country, we're like, yeah, no problem. We could stay at home 2 weeks. Not a big deal. Like, we got you. But then that's when it started to be like, I think maybe they started to be like, well, let's do this. Because anytime there's something like, wasn't it Henry Kissinger said, never let a good crisis go to waste?
Go to waste, yeah.
And I think that's what it was. And I think everybody thought that it was a power grab. Everybody's like, mm-hmm. on all sides, everybody's like, grab, grab, grab. Like, oh, I'm gonna absorb this. And they completely forgot about the people.
Yeah. And that's absolutely what happened.
Yeah. And then now they're just, and then after they did that, because I can always tell people, it was voted, whether you're Democrat or Republican, when they did that first stimulus, when we only got $1,200, it was, and trillions went to Wall Street.
Yeah.
The biggest, like, I'm going to steal Jimmy Dore's line, the largest transfer of wealth in human history, you know what I'm saying, was voted 96-0. 96-0. There was one guy, I forgot his name, I'm going to have to look that up later. He said, nay.
And
yeah,
they did, like, 96, there must have been four abstentions, you know?
And that's why they made it not a...
But you couldn't vote no against that?
You know what I mean? Stand. And they were like, well, because the American people need the money. But then how come now you're not caring?
Yeah.
Now that it's actually, like, impacts us only.
I've been doing pretty well.
Yeah.
People have been in pretty long periods of lockdown. Yeah. People that haven't been able to work. It's like a lot of the small independent sort of business ventures. Like, I know gals who do lashes and...
Mm-hmm.
spray tans and all that, and they have to, like, it's like a little black market, honestly. It's like they can't even post up and advertise on social media because some people will report them.
Yeah,
it's like everyone's just narking on their neighbors. It's scary stuff.
Oh, for sure. It worries me a great deal, because it's like, where are we going, man? You know what I mean? And this, and that kind of brings up good to the one of the other stories that you brought up that I found interesting, was the because this is a big thing that's going on too. Trump may try to steal the election. We need to start preparing for that now.
It's funny because there's a pattern to all this where the left tends to blame everyone else for what they are exactly doing.
Yes, because Keith Olbermann was on air saying that we need to round up all the people that supported Trump.
The maggots.
Yeah. Like, what a fucking idiot, man. To not even acknowledge... Like, this is the thing that pisses me off. Like I always tell people, hey, when they go, fuck Trump, I go, okay, cool. I have no problem with that. You can, I mean, really, you should be mad at any of these politicians, because, like, I get it. Like, but then when you're only saying about Trump, I'm like, so what about the other ones? And you have no problem with anything else these motherfuckers do?
Yeah.
I'm like, so you're cool with Nancy Pelosi dragging her feet and not giving a fuck about giving money to us. And then she goes, well, we made a HERO Act. Well, you know what? You're supposed to make a deal. It's not supposed to be like, hey, here's our bill, sign it or leave it. That's not how it works.
Yeah. It's supposed to be a compromise.
Yes.
The two opposing sides. But it's been going on for a while, though. It's like the two parties, kind of on and off for periods of time, will refuse to, like, even meet or compromise. This was happening before Trump, too.
Oh, for sure. It was just polarized.
It's just gotten really bad now.
Yeah, because they were, it was already like occurring, like that split. I saw it really a little bit in the 2000s, but it seemed like between 2008 and 2010, it really started shifting to where it was like, I believe this and I will not listen to you. That's when the Republicans too were like walking out, you know, locking out. Remember there was that lockout of the Senate or something like that?
Yeah, over the budget.
Yeah.
Ceiling.
And it's like, it's all this shit. But it's all this bureaucrat shit where there's just a pissing contest between each other. They don't give a fuck because then they go right around. They're more worried about getting their donors because they have quotas. The DNC and the GOP gives their the House representatives and all the senators, they have quotas. They go, hey man, you know if you don't meet those quotas, you don't get the good job. Like you don't get a chair on the. What's it called? Like the big tech commission or whatever they're, you know what I mean? Whatever commissions they come up with.
Like the judiciary.
Yeah. To be able to put your opinion to make change, they block you out of it. So you have to hustle. So they want you to hustle. So
and play the game.
And people try to change it that way and you can't. You cannot change it that way. It's impossible. So what you do is you build up your own army. That's what I keep telling people. I'm like, okay, same thing with libertarians. I love the libertarians, and I like a lot of. But why aren't we taking? I think there's a few out there. I know there is, but more candidates like Tulsi. People like Tulsi need to big time people. If you want to make a splash, fucking jump it. Like once you're like, go run as a Democrat, and then be like, you know what? I'm gonna change my party.
Mm-hmm.
Like immediately.
A bit with this election, there's quite a few. Like black Democrats that are in Congress.
Oh yeah.
Forget, what's his name? Vernon.
Vernon Jones.
Yeah, that's it. He turned, and that's a pretty good indication, I think, of the way this election is going to go. As long as there's not too much
interference
from either side. I don't know. It's crazy though. I saw a thing this morning. It was saying that a bunch of people, like 50 million people, have already voted early, and. From some polls from that is like a lot of them want to change their vote, and I guess through the Google algorithm it was recorded that it was like a spike in searches for that after the debate.
Damn.
It's like I can't believe you'd flip-flop on one debate like that. It goes to show how little research people actually do into
the oh for sure
and their voting records and what's actually happening rather than like voting off of the emotion of it and what they're told.
And they mainly are voting off emotion and the little bit of information they have. Like to go back to the story of like where they're like, I've been seeing this for the last few months now of a lot of people like Trump is going to steal the election. Not even just that narrative, but also this narrative of like that he's rallying white supremacists and he has them on call. And in 16 states, there's like, thousands of fucking white supremacists. I've heard a lot of people say this, like people that I respect and people that like are intelligent, like you know what I mean. Like it's not like that, like it's some wild conspiracy person, like you know what I mean. Like they're it's just that they're really into this fear. And I'm like, look, man, I'm not saying there ain't no white supremacist groups, but let me tell you, they're not as prevalent as you're speaking. Now I've heard and seen through the FBI a little bit, which I don't trust that much. And that's what also was a hypocritical thing to say, because I go, you're going to trust the FBI, but then yet you want to defund the police. Okay.
Yeah.
Like that. It's just like all these things. And I'm like, how do you not see this as a story? I'm like, I'm not telling you to like Trump. I'm not telling you to vote for Trump. I'm just saying, why are you pretending like, well, I have to vote for Biden because like you're doing some heroic act. You're not doing a heroic act. Trump's he's a fucking piece fascist. Of shit.
Trump's not white. I don't think he's white supremacist. I just think he's.
I think he's an asshole. Himself. A fucking New
I
York.
Think he's about like a Wall Street mafia.
Yeah, exactly.
He's looking out for his family, the Trump name.
Exactly, and the legacy.
And I like it because it's not part of the same clique. At mm-hmm. least it doesn't appear to be. So there is some evidence to suggest that he might have been friends with Hillary or something.
Well, yeah, he
wouldn't surprise me because you got to touch elbows with these people when you're in the, like that level of society.
It's tough to say.
A lot of questions, but
for sure,
like from the whole white supremacy thing, it's like I'm pretty sure they don't like him because he's very pro-Israel.
And the thing is too is like we as a country, as a species, in general, we need to stop seeing a couple people on Twitter or see a clip of someone saying something and be like, oh, look at all those people. That's a few people. That's not even a drop in a bucket compared to the whole entire like population of the world. Like people, and even though the country, and is there fucking Twitter's backwards
people? Real life.
And is there people that, I always say this, people always throw the word racism around, and I know that there's racist, but to me, mostly, and everybody's guilty of this, is prejudiced. Most people are prejudiced, and most of the time, it's from ignorance. Most of the time, it's because like, oh, I've never been in this kind of neighborhood, and they have these pre-assumptions of what it might be. And people don't want to look at that fact. They want to do this identity politics. And I keep telling people identity politics is going to make human beings worse. Because you're going to force them to pick teams.
Yep.
We don't want to pick teams.
It's troubling, for sure.
For sure.
You're seeing a lot of that going on now with here in California. There's a proposition to eliminate the freaking constitutional amendment against what's it called? Discrimination. It's like in the guise of it's for affirmative action. Like that is, you want to eliminate the protections against discrimination? Like what? What is this? Like it's gonna, so it's someone else's turn to discriminate against someone else? I just don't understand.
I don't either. And
the
that's
logic behind that is like scary. And I think they're hoping people don't really look into it. Like,
oh, for sure.
This proposition is because it could lead to a lot of troubling things. It could lead to segregated neighborhoods again.
Yeah, and we don't want that.
Yeah, we came away from that. We got past that as a country.
And I get it, like, and us saying that, someone's going to be like, whoa, you know, I don't feel that way. And I get it, but also another thing we have to realize as a species is life is all perspective. So, like, of course it's difficult for any perspective because you can be any race, any religion, any creed and live the completely life than the same person that was exactly like you or had the same, you can be in the same environment, the same religion, everything, and still have two different outcomes from two different people because people are not equal. People are unique. I think we use this word equal. We need equal playing field. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, equality is a weird thing, like, as far as, like, oh, we're all equal. Well, we're not all equal. That's obvious. Like, some people are better at math. Some people are better at sports. Some people are better at this and that. We're all
some
unique.
People are born into super wealthy families.
Yeah, we should have equal opportunities. I agree with that. But I think that the language that they use sometimes is very sloppy, where they're just like, oh, man, we got to be equal. Like, we can't be. We never could be. And you can't just reward someone and be like, hey, this guy, you can't take from one guy that works harder and give money to, like, one example I keep seeing all the time because, like, you know, there's a lot of big also discussions about, like, the gender wealth gap. Yeah. And I've had a couple of discussions about that. And I understand that, like, but what are they basing that off of? They don't see the statistics. I'm like, men also, on average, make more, work more hours. Yeah. In turn, that's how they make more money.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of different fields and stuff where it's like male dominated, you know, like construction, for example, or like things like that, like trade fields.
Yeah, like Bill Burr always said, he was like, you don't see a lot of women complaining about being roofers.
Oh my God, shout out to the roofers. I did a little bit of that.
Oh yeah, that's no joke, man.
I've done some solar installation stuff, and any work on top of a roof is pretty brutal in California summers, I'll tell you.
And if that woman, and I will say, though, if that woman is doing that roofing job and she's not getting paid the same as him, then we got to figure something out. But I also have experience working in warehouses and stuff, working with women, where they're like, oh, I can't pick up that heavy. Like, you know, they can't. They tell at the job when they get it that they can do it, right? Of course, because everybody does that.
You got to be able to.
And then they're like, man, like it's heavy because like we're working in certain areas where it's really heavy and they get tired. So we end up doing all the heavy shit.
Yeah. I mean, there's ways you can work as a team too.
No, for sure. But what I'm saying is like, so if I were to
I'm
get
agreeing with you, by the way.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, and if you can, but what I'm saying is like, if you want to get to that argument of like, oh, we're doing the same job. Well, are we doing the same job then?
Yeah. And technically, no.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's interesting, man.
And don't get me wrong that I don't think that there's a problem. But what my problem with all of this in general is, again, the identity politics of separating and trying to make teams. I'm not against women.
It's all divide and conquer stuff, man.
I'm all about women power. Like, I love to see when, like, I love when a woman's, like, in a place. But if she knows what she's doing. But the same thing with the dude. Like, if they're in charge, I just like people that are leaders to be leaders. If they show those qualities, I don't really care who, what they are. I just like the qualities. And maybe other people don't think that, but I can't do nothing. There's nothing I could do about that, you know?
I think that's one thing that's really missed in, like, the whole kind of diversity hiring thing is, like, we need to hire on, like, the content of people's character, their experience, and their ability. Like, leadership qualities are extremely rare, especially, I feel like, the way kids are kind of raised through the public school system.
Oh, yeah.
Indoctrinated to avoid leadership, really, and be a follower. So it makes the job market kind of crazy like that. It's like, if you can come through with good leadership qualities and as a good, like, I don't know, someone that they can mentor and work up the ranks, like, that's on you and how hard you work and how you portray yourself to the world.
Oh, 100%.
But anyway,
I believe that 100%. Now, I was also, like, one of the other comparisons that I was going to make is that I was trying to find the meme, but I can't find it. They keep comparing. There's this WNBA player, and they show her statistics, and, like, you know, she's a really good player. She really is good. I forget her name, though. And against LeBron James, and they compare, like, their stats of, like, you know, how many championships they've won, how, like, career-wise, all, like, everything, right? She's obviously very well accomplished. And they're trying to say, look how accomplished she is. She's pretty much just as accomplished as LeBron James. And then they show how much LeBron makes and how much she makes, right? So they're saying, like, she does the same job. She should get paid the same. And I go, no. And then people go, well, you're sexist. And I go, no, I'm not. I say, how much money does the WNBA generate?
Yeah.
Like, that. If they were like making billions of dollars and they were getting paid that, then I would be like, yeah, you're fucking right. They're fucking you over. It's unfair. But right now it's not unfair. It's just it's, what do you want to do? Like, make it more exciting then. Figure it out.
Yeah.
Put butts in seats.
Yeah. It's the sporting world's a tough one for that, and I've seen it because I'm a big soccer guy, you know, European and all.
Yeah.
So when the argument comes down to, like, the Women's World Cup, it's like the viewership's closer in comparison than, like, the NBA and the WNBA, but it's still not the same. Now, that being said, like, they could probably adjust it on the women's side of things, and they should, but the whole, like, you know, they should have the same rate of pay, but they're not generating the same amount of money from the viewership. It sucks. And it, like, yeah, I kind of have to sound like an asshole when you say it. It was like, you got to put the butts on seats, like you're saying. You got to bring in the money to get that paycheck.
Yeah, that's how it works. Like, because it has to be profitable. Like, I mean, like, I don't understand, like, why people don't, like, now I understood when they were saying, like, the men's U.S. soccer team was getting paid more than the women's. I was like, well, that doesn't make sense because I know that people pay attention to the women's soccer way more. Now that I'm like,
and that's where it gets kind of gray area for sure. And I'm leaning more like, and the men's didn't even qualify to make it to the
league. Yeah, man. There's no way. I would be for. I would be like, yeah, you should cut like half that salary and give it to the women's soccer who's winning medals.
I'd say all their salary.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm kind of a harsh critic on that.
Just let the women's play both, actually.
Honestly, they probably could.
I know, man. We've been horrible for so long, man. I always like I'm not a huge soccer fan, but I always I played it when I was younger, and I've always like had an interest in it. It's an interesting game, you know. And plus, like, coming from California, like, you know, all my Mexican friends show me all the Mexican leagues, you know, and you see all that growing up in. And it's exciting when you watch it, man. And it's exciting, the announcers, how they just like, well, depending on what the announcer is, but especially the Mexican announcers, they're fucking, man.
Live games too. It's a wild atmosphere. Although that's kind of gone now with no fans in the stadium. It's kind of killed live sports in general.
Oh yeah. It's made it weird.
Yeah. It's very like plastic and like manufactured. It feels like almost.
Oh, for sure. Well, especially with all the cardboard And now they have the, what's it called? Even though like the virtual fans and all that weird shit, that's kind of like creeps me out.
They're dubbing in like stadium noise from like a full stadium, and there's like barely anyone there.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
I found this other story that I thought was pretty interesting. It's from the, I don't know what this is, what website. C4 is RNN. I'm not sure, but the article is Artificial Intelligence. Pentagon's AI Hub awards multi $100 million blanket purchasing agreement. It says, the Pentagon's top artificial intelligence officer awarded 5 blanket purchasing agreements, potentially worth hundreds of millions of dollars, for technical staffing services. The Joint Artificial Intelligence Center awarded 5-year contracts, each with $100 million ceiling, to Red Horse Corp, Cyberport International, Elder Research, and I forgot this last one, but so they sold all this. So they're pushing the AI heavy. And it seems like they're trying to get into, and the thing that's what people don't understand too is that, you know, like Google is just, is part of the government. Like that's just a fraction. Like that's just part of the, like, they work with the CIA. They work They work a lot with the CIA.
It's kind of like when you look at like the mega corporations, like especially with big tech, it's very much like there's a corporate deep state and then there's like the deep state within the political side of things.
Yes.
And you're very much seeing a lot of the tyrannical, you know, dystopian, Orwellian, whatever you want to describe it as, like all the censorship and the surveillance. And you're seeing like the way the algorithms coming into play when it comes to deplatforming various, you know, types of content, whether it's free thinking or, you know, talking about natural herbs and remedies
anything against the norm.
There's so many things get hit nowadays. It's ridiculous.
Oh yeah. The purge is still going, man. There's more and more channels on YouTube that are dying every day. I got another, this is the crazy one. For posting the Pedalgate, you know, the one with Tom Hanks, they said that's harassment and I'm bullying or some shit. And I was like, whatever. They gave me a strike, so I couldn't do shit for a while. I can't post anything. And then they gave me I think they put it like an explicit warning or something on one video. And all the video is it's The Simpsons in the beginning. I just put a beat over it. Like, it's just a beat, and it's Bill Gates when he's on The Simpsons. Remember when he just breaks Homer, all his... Yeah. He's like, I'm going to buy you... He's like, he thinks he's going to get all this money, and he just breaks all his shit. And then fucking I have a beat over it, and I just have some of these pictures of making Bill Gates look weird, and they put a explicit warning on it. It has no words. It says nothing bad. It's no nudity, no violence, nothing. It just has, like... Bill Gates in a bad light. You know, he looks a little bit evil like some of the times, but it doesn't, I don't know. It's just weird.
Yeah. I mean, that's gotta be, I know there's a lot of, like from a lot of the exposés from like Project Veritas where there's people like going through and deplatforming or deleting people or stuff, but there's definitely like the algorithm, the AI at play where they're just broad stroking anything that mentions, you know, for example, Bill Gates, his name probably triggers the algorithm to, you know, get it flagged and probably pulled down.
That has to be because it I think like we were talking last time off the air, like we were talking about how the algorithms have to pick either code or like certain encrypted, you know, certain, there's some kind of signature that's coming with that that code. You know what I mean? So they're tracing whatever that signature is, and I mean, I think that's how they're doing a lot of it because there's no way that they're knowing. AI can't go through, but I mean, I don't know fully how AI works. AI is pretty incredible when you look into it. It's it's scary. It's cool, scary at the same time. Because some of the stuff is very, very interesting. What, like, it seems like it could be something good. It seems like sometimes where you're like, you know what, I think AI could help. But the problem is, I think that, like, when you start seeing the companies that are in on it, you're like, I don't know, man. Why are they in control of it, though? Like, those are the wrong people.
That's where the red flags come up for me. It's like, there's an old saying, it's the computer is only as good as the person who programs it. And going off the track record of some of the various companies and individuals in the tech industry that are developing these things, it's pretty worrying what they're going to do with it.
Oh, yeah. Very worrying.
And what they already are doing with some of it.
And that's, but the thing that really worries some is like, okay, like, you could kind of predict somebody getting very powerful, a company, and trying to push their agenda. The problem with me is that why isn't our government pushing back and making sure that's and protecting us from that? The one thing you're supposed to do is what you're not doing.
Yeah, they've dropped the ball, the Republicans, in a big way.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, they had a chance to do 230 reform, and they didn't. And look what happened. Came back to bite them and their supporters in a big way.
It's disappointing, but I will say there is a few bright spots that I've seen on Democrats and Republican side. A few where you're like, maybe, like, but it's just like, I just see them getting lost in the system, because what happens is they find a scandal and they get you out. You can't be with that party. You got to build your party up. And if you, and the people that don't, that are playing the game right now, they should be encouraging other people to join a party, another party, and to do that, to get these seats. That's how you make change. But people just want to play that, well, life is never going to be fair. There's always going to be people that are more powerful than you. You have to figure it out. And that's why we have a good structure here, is because we have a way out, but we're not using it. You could say what you want. You could say that we're built on this, that we have. Of course, we have horrible crimes, unspeakable things that we've done, and I get that. But still, a good idea is a good idea. Yeah. And having a structure where nothing can have too much power is the way it's supposed to be. That's why we have the three branches of the government. But it seems that their intent, a lot of people's intent, at least on the surface level, is that they're trying to grab for all of that power. They don't want to have the three branches anymore. It seems like they want to unify it.
They're chipping away at all the different checks and balances we've had in place that have kind of kept things, you know, in a way where it forces people to work together rather than having to seize all the power for one's own, you know, team and their agenda.
Yeah, and to see exactly, like, and now they force it to where it's so polarizing that you can only believe your team.
Yep.
You're like, sorry, man, like, we're a team, man. You know what, you made a good point, but if I go against my team, I don't have any friends. And I told people that's what happened with Bernie. Bernie was like, man, I could, because to me, when you don't call out Hillary's corruption, you're complicit. You're complicit. And he could have went, but you know what? I kind of get it too. He's been in politics his whole life. That's his only friends.
Yeah. I think that first time around, he was, you know, he bent the knee so that he would have a better shot at getting, you know, their favor for the second run. And, you know, last year when he was in the primaries, but he ended up just taking the knee again.
Yeah, but the way he started this last campaign, when you hear a lot of the insiders, they're talking about he was taking super PAC money and he was doing a lot of different things. He didn't want to do the grassroots move. They completely scrapped the old blueprint and he like kind of went with the DNC. And I was like, I think it's kind of like maybe you always wanted to be in certain positions. Like, you know, you're like, oh, I'm finally in the in crowd, man. I'm just going to keep it.
Yeah, I think that's probably what it is for him. I mean, he stopped talking about going after millionaires and billionaires.
Yes. Yeah.
Was talking about billionaires this time around because he became a millionaire himself. Mm-hmm.
And it's just very, and that's the thing. The questions, like, I just don't like, they could be one and the same. You cannot like Trump and still question Biden, and still, like, you have to do that. But
you
people
should be.
They don't want to vet.
Then I'm like, what are you doing? Eh? You're not paying attention. You're not. You're being duped into voting for one of the most corrupt career politicians in the history of our country, I'd say.
Oh yeah.
Just because you emotionally dislike Trump.
With no logic behind it. Because when you argue with people, like, I actually have reasons why I don't like him. Like I have reasons why I don't trust him, and I don't tell people that, and I let them at I want, and every time I ask them, they don't have any of the things I'm saying. I'm like, well, then you're not paying attention, because if you're worried about the things I'm worried about, then I would be like, I get you. But when you're saying like the same talking points that you heard on these fucking news outlets, then nah, I'm not buying that shit, because I actually looked into it. Like, they don't look into it.
Yeah. They don't do the research. They're just looking for their own confirmation biases.
And it's so easy, too. It's simple now.
It happens to both sides, really.
Oh, for sure.
But I do think, like, people on the right side are tend to be more of the critical thinkers rather than the left is kind of...
I think now...
Like a brainwashing going on.
I think now, but I think that it seems that way now, because I remember in, like, the early 2000s, seemed like that... The Democrats were the reasonable ones. That they were the ones where you're like, man, I don't know, but these neocons, man, they just want to kill everybody and blow everything up, man. I think they just seem so unreasonable. But I think that what's been exposed is that the two-party system is actually a one-party.
Oh, yeah.
With just little dangling branches that are trying to, like, bring it back to a more diverse, you know, frame. They keep pushing it. They try to cut.
All right, thank you guys for listening. We really appreciate your time. Like, share, and subscribe if you can. If you would like to follow me, I'm on Instagram at far.sebastian, sebastian, and hope you guys have a wonderful week, and we'll see you guys next week.
That's a wrap, y'all. You know, thanks for bearing with us through our first broadcast together. We'll get the sound a little bit better next time, but you know, follow us at Kill the Mockingbirds on Instagram, and also Kill_Mockingbirds on Instagram. Also check us out, killthemockingbirds @gmail, if you got any questions, got anything you want to submit to the show. And you know how we do it: wake the fuck up or get woke the fuck up. We're going to end on this little Biden little thing right quick.
My grandpa was named Ambrose Finnegan. At kitchen table, I learned. My ears used to say, Joey, nobody's better than you, but you're no better than anybody else. Maybe it's the Scranton in me. I got a little bit of a chip on my shoulder. Worried about whether they can make next month's mortgage payment. Well, it is what it is, because he is who he is. That's why it is what it is. He is who he is. You know, remember when he decided he was going to convince Bob Woodward what a smart guy he was. So he went on, yeah, smart guy. I'll lead an effective strategy to mobilize true international effort to pressure, isolate, and punish China. Folks, true international effort to pressure, isolate, and punish China. Donald Trump thinks health care. Well, I'm sick and tired of smart guys. I gotta admit, this is all within our power. This is all within our power. But we're getting there, man. Hang on. To send every single person qualified to community college free. To community college free. And if I keep going, you're going to freeze your fingers off. It wasn't. Donald Trump hasn't delivered on a damn thing he said he'd do. True.